118 in the white book. Number 118.
Right. Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill us all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David writes in one of his psalms, he says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And then he asks the question, who is the King of glory? I'm glad he answers it too. He's the Lord. He's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. But what a wonderful thing it is. We can lift up our head, our hearts. We can open the windows of our soul or the gates of our city, of our lives. And we can invite the King of glory to come in and fight for us. He's mighty in battle. And he'll take up your fight. Oh, let the King of glory in. Open up your hearts to receive him. Let Jesus have his way with you right now, tonight. He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and he has something for you. Don't miss it. Receive all that he has. Open your heart to receive him. Open your soul to receive him. Hallelujah. And the King of glory shall come in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we open our heart to you, Lord. We open our soul to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We open our soul. In our hymn book, 116. mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Hallelujah, and set him on high, far above all principalities and powers, even in the name of other than me. We bow in that name, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Number 365. All the way my Savior leads me. We could stand if you'd like to as we sing. Start from verse 1. Before we sing the last verse, somebody asked me this afternoon, or a couple people did. I know some people from out in California, from different churches there that are here tonight, and of course some of you from New York or New Jersey or whatever. And somebody asked me this afternoon, could you tell us the story of how you got into full-time Christian service? It's not much of a story. It's a very short story. And after Susan's testimony and what Mariana said this morning, I can give my short testimony. Day by day, the small things, step by step, little by little, bit by bit, that's how I got into the work of the Lord full time. Through no plan of my own, through no aspiration that I had as a kid. I came from a family of pastors. My dad was one, and everybody that I called uncle was another pastor someplace. And the generation before that, and the generation before that, and the generation before that. But I really had no desire or thought at all. But how you get involved in the work of the Lord, or not just the work of the Lord, but as Susan said, just how do you know what Jesus wants from your life? You do what he wants you to do today. I didn't go to Bible school. You could probably tell. I never learned how to preach. I'm still trying to figure it out. I went to Queens College after I graduated from the city high school. And I really thought I was going to be a gym teacher. I loved sports. I knew I wasn't good enough to play for the Yankees. Or the Knicks, or anybody for that matter. And so I figured, well, I'll fall back on a career in a gymnasium someplace, and I think I would have loved it. But I graduated from school in January. I had a double major, and I had a student teach for 6 months. And so after that, it was January that I graduated, and the year that I graduated, I got married.
I was the ripe old age of 22, and we knew that this is what the Lord, and I don't think I knew at that time what I was actually going to be doing. My wife had been a nurse already, graduated from nursing school, and had been working, so that was a plus. And I was a bum, or a graduate. And so we got married in January, and I had graduated from college, and then I was offered a job at an insurance company. Well, I never thought about being an insurance anything, a claims adjuster. But all of you know, most of you know, Sister Susan Waldfogel. At that time, her name was Susan Liebman. No, maybe it wasn't. Was it? Okay, it was Liebman. And her dad worked at an insurance company, and we were friends, and we grew up together in church, and she knew our plight, or the dilemma. And I had been offered a job when I finally would, when the new school year would roll around, 6 months down the road. So, okay, in the interim, I'll work for the insurance company. And so I went to work at Employers Insurance of Warsaw. I loved it. I enjoyed working there just as much as playing basketball in the gym, if I could ever get that far with the students. And so, wow, that was fun. And then I enjoyed the company car that they gave me. I enjoyed being my own boss and working my own hours and just having to fulfill the obligations that they laid upon me. I thought, how can you beat this? This is great. And one thing led to another, and the time came I could have gone to a school job, but it was working out pretty well in claims. And that seems to be, or thought, maybe that would be my career. I'd be a claims adjuster. I told you some of the fun I had with claims adjusting. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, if I told you some of the claims we had gotten involved in and some of the fun, that it was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people I worked with. I enjoyed getting up every day. And finally, they roped me into going into the office. And I enjoyed going into the office every day. And it was great. Life was great. But you know what made life great? I don't think it had to do with because I went to Queens College, or Queens College is great. Anybody go to Queens College? Great school, right? Look, it turned out Brother Paul and Brother Tom. Can you beat that? Well, anyway, it's turning out my son, so I don't know where we go with that. I don't know what we do now. But anyway, Queens College, and that's not why I loved life. I didn't love life because I got offered a job at the insurance company, although I didn't mind the job, and it was nice. I enjoyed it. I think I loved life. Not even because I was engaged to be married and then married. But all that time, all the time I was in college, all the time I was in high school, all the time I was wherever I was, I was always doing another job. I never got paid for it, never wanted to get paid for it. It may have been teaching a Sunday school class. It may have been coming to camp and washing pots or dishes. I worked in the boathouse. I worked as a waiter. I mean, I just did jobs. One time I cut my hand while I was working, so I couldn't do the job that I was assigned to do. So Brother Gordon gave me the job of playing the trumpet in the morning at 8 o'clock. I mean, you can't beat that job. I was finished at 8:05. That was it for the day. And that didn't last all my life, but a little while. And all the while, just then counseling. And on and on and so on and so on. And back at home, singing the choir. Help in Vacation Bible School. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. Do it as unto the Lord. While you're working, while you're going to school, don't let school crowd out your working for Jesus. But just do what he wants you to do. And as Susan said, he doesn't want you to be a hermit. He doesn't want you to be a misfit in society. Those three guys in Babylon, or the whole bunch that they carried off into Babylon, you read in the first chapter, they were skilled in everything. They were the brightest of the bright. They were the most diligent of the bunch. They were the smartest students, but they had a heart for God, and they wouldn't defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. You can do both. You can be the best in your company. You can be the best in your school academically. You could rise to the top. It's the idea that it's either one or the other. It's not one or the other. It's what does the Lord want from me, but it's who's first and where's the priority lie. I can remember those that worked with me in prayer meeting, Monday nights, worked with me. Well, it wasn't much of a work, but myself, Brother Kenny Ott, Vitanis Mudzeliaskis, that's a mouthful, and we used to have the prayer meeting group on Monday night. We had 6, 8 boys, 10 boys maybe in our charge, and we prayed with them every Monday night at the church. And Kenny would come right from school. His last class would end at 6:30, and he'd come right from school to church. And then after church, prayer meeting group, then he'd go home and have supper. Now, I think that was kind of noble. I think that was right, though. Always involved in the work of the Lord. In small ways, larger ways, whatever ways. And then one summer at camp here, if you don't know Brother Gordon, this will be lost on you. But if you knew Brother Gordon Gardner, he cornered me. I don't know if he's ever cornered anybody else. He's never cornered you because you never knew him. But then most of you probably never knew him either. But Brother Gordon, he could corner you. And he got me in a corner in the palace there. And he was pulling on my shirt. And he just said a few words. He said, "Have you ever thought of the work of the Lord?" And I had thought of the work of the Lord, and my thought was, no, thank you. My thought was, I'm already in the work of the Lord. I teach Sunday school. I pick up kids in my car where I can. I do this, I do that. Just the small things every day. What's your will for my life today, this morning, this afternoon? What could I do for you tonight? What could I do for you these next 6 months? Where could I make myself available? Availability in the kingdom of God is almost as important as your ability to make yourself useful, to give yourself. Some people are much better at whatever they do than I am, or maybe than you are, but you can't ever find them. They're not willing to help. They're not willing to work. They're not willing to do anything. But you just avail yourself to the work of the Lord. Give yourself to the work of the Lord as best you can. And I tried. And then that tug. And I don't know if we had thought about the ministry. I don't think I did when I was working at the insurance company. I was thinking of a career until one Friday night. It was almost like a ton of bricks. It was almost out of the clear blue. It wasn't that, you know, let me plan my plot, my course in life. Let's see, I'll work here for a year and a half, and then I'll maybe step out and work and then go into the full-time ministry. It wasn't that kind of a thing at all. It was a Friday night meeting in Ridgewood, and Brother Edwin had spoken. I could not tell you what he spoke about. But I went to the altar, and we were praying at the altar afterwards and seeking the Lord, and he came over to me, and I just said something to him so innocently. I said, you know, Uncle Edwin, I would be willing to work for the Lord. I'd be willing to go into the work of the Lord. And he looked at me and he said, okay, then quit your job and move into the faith home. Now, if you again, the faith home was a training place for aspiring ministers. That you could quit your job and not have an income, and the faith home would help take care of you and feed you, and you would work in the church and do the work that the church assigned you to do, and I don't know what happened, but I said, yeah, okay, and I went to work, and I enjoyed what I was doing, and I went to my boss and I said, Mr. Benedict, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to quit. I'm leaving. And he said, oh, what, you got a better offer? Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to work for nothing. And I'm giving up where I live, my home, and got to get rid of that. We had a house at the time, and we rented it out to others, and we're going to move into... How do you explain that to Mr. Benedict? And he said, well, if it's money, I'll make it worth it for you to stay. And you like that, huh? Cha-ching, remember a few days ago? No, it wasn't money. It had nothing to do with money. Couldn't care less. Cha-ching, I'll double your salary. You want a better this or a better deal? And no, it's not a better this or a better deal. It's, you don't understand that God has called me to do something else. And I remember him telling me at that time, he said, you're throwing your life away. I think you're crazy. You're throwing your life away. I guess I did throw it away. I maybe didn't throw it away. Maybe I just laid it down. And so there's nothing glamorous. There's no, you know, big lightning bolts or calls of God. It's just a day by day until all of a sudden, okay, then quit your job and move into the faith home. So I did. And then they threw me to the vultures. They sent me to this place called Ozone Park. I didn't want to go to Ozone Park. I mean, Ozone Park wasn't a place that I wanted to go. I wanted to be in Ridgewood. And I wanted to be with my friends in Ridgewood. And I wanted to serve the Lord with my friends. And I lived in the faith home with my cousin Eddie and Susan and their family growing up. And that's where that was my home. That's where I wanted to be. I don't want to go to Ozone Park. And yet, they asked to go to Ozone Park, so I did. And just did what I could do. I didn't know what I was doing. My uncle, who was the pastor there, resigned shortly after that. And here I was, 24 years old. I don't know how old I was. Just a kid. And there's nobody else there to help me. It's like sink or swim. Now what are you going to do? Well, Lord, I'm going to do whatever I know, just what you've taught me so far. And I don't know how to minister. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to lead a congregation. I don't know how to do anything, but I'm available. And then that's kind of what Isaiah found out in Isaiah 6, when the Lord said to him, who can I send? Who can go for us? And Isaiah, I don't think very, you know, boastfully or proud, oh, send me. I think by that time he had been knocked down a number of notches. And, well, if you want, here am I. I mean, I don't know what I can do, but if you want me, here I am. Send me. And that's the way it was. And I'm not going to tell Jason and Alice a story because they sometime might tell it themselves. But I know Jason and Alice. I've known Sister Alice for 25 years, 20 years. I'm bad with math. I'm bad with dates. A long time now. And her dad was the pastor of a church, leads a group in California. And then Jason came on the scene, and I got to know Jason, and I got to know their family. And I've seen them every year for many, many years now. And I've seen the way God has led them. It wasn't the whole thing all at once, right? It was just follow where the Lord leads me. You know, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. But I'm going to just follow the Lord. I'm just going to do what he shows me, what he tells me to do. And diligently wanting to just do what he says. There's no magic to this. Whether you're young or you're old, it's not a magic show. It's not a blaze of light. Now, some people have experiences like that. I don't know of anybody that has had such an experience. The people that I know that are involved in serving the Lord now and in ministry now, or just working for the Lord in there, it's just doing what their hand finds to do. And then, Lord, what's next? And okay, what's next? All right. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. But I'll just want to re-echo what Susan also said, when you don't have to stress out over it. I don't think that's ever the Lord's will. I think there are stressful or opportunities to be stressed out, because there are times when we frankly don't know. And I can remember hearing myself pray when I was a college kid. I didn't know what to do sometimes. I didn't know what to major in. You know, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life. I didn't know what God's plan would be. I didn't know where I'd wind up. And I remember praying, and it was more than one time that I prayed, Lord, I really don't know. I have to register for classes. I have to make a decision. I have to declare a major, and I really don't really know. But I just kind of felt that if he's really my Father, my Heavenly Father, that he has an interest in me because he's my Father. I'm his child. I think every earthly father has an interest in their kids. Every good earthly father. Of course we have an interest. We don't want our children to go astray or the wrong way or make a wrong decision. And so I just said, Lord, you know, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I think I should do. Common sense is given to us by God to use. Not to just throw caution to the wind and let me do the most illogical thing because that must be God's will. Most often it's just common sense. This seems right. You know, if you can't hold the tune in a bucket, I'd suggest you don't try to become a music teacher. It might not work. If your forte is working with kids, that might be a clue as to what God might have for you. Oh, no, I think the Lord would want me to. Well, no, I think the Lord will use the abilities and the gifts and the talents that he's given to you because he's the one that gave them to you. Now he wants you to give them back to him to use them for his kingdom. And so as you do that, just the best of your ability. And then I would pray, Lord, I don't know if this is right. This is what I think is right. This is what makes sense to me. But I don't want to lean to my own understanding. And so, Lord, if this isn't right, you're going to have to close the door. You can do that, Lord. You can show me a different way. You can just help it not to work the way it's supposed to. You can just whatever, Lord. But this is what I'm going to do. So if it's wrong, stop me. Now, I don't think that that's a good idea to do for everything in your life. But when you get to the crossroads and you don't know what to do, trust the Lord. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart. Believe that he does really know best. And he might lead you in a way that might be different than what you would think. And I look back over my life, and now I'm getting a little older now. And so I can reminisce. I can look back, and I can see the way the Lord has led. And the reason why he closed some doors. The reason why he opened other doors. I can see that. I couldn't see that then, but I could see it now. And there's a song in our white book, which we won't sing, but it's a beautiful song. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels when I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. And I think that's best. Takes the strain off. Lord, you bear the burden. You carry the load. You just help me to know your will or to follow your will. And if I don't know, I trust you enough to know that you're not going to lead me in a ditch. But you're going to take care of me because you're faithful. Because you're my Father. And so, Susan, thank you for giving me that open window to whoever asked. So you see, it's not so special. It's not so glamorous. But I think it's okay that it's not. All the way my Savior leads me. I would have never, and I think Brother Paul might be able to bear testimony to this, and maybe Sister Elsie and some others that knew me since I was a little guy. I don't think I would have ever been thought to be the one that would ever stand behind a pulpit any place. I was content to be in the background. I still am content to be in the background. If I don't say hello to you, it's not because I don't like you. Maybe it's just because I'm shy. Because I am. I know you don't think so, and you can't. I'm not doing this by choice. I'm doing this because it's what the Lord has given me to do. And yet, I thank him for the privilege. I couldn't have worked out my life better. I could be more satisfied. You give me $1 million, or $2 million, or $10 million. And that beautiful house out in the middle of that island on Brant Lake, I'd rather just be where I am, doing what I'm doing. As the old song that we're not allowed to sing at camp, I don't think. I'm satisfied with the cottage below, with the little silver and the little gold. But in that city where the mansion shall shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Well, that's the Lord's job to give. But let's all of us just do his will every day. Just do what's in front of you today. Just do that. That's why it's so important when we come to meetings, as we did tonight, that we let the Lord use us. That we look to, Lord, and how could I, ready to have him use me or not be used at all, as the song says. That's how you get into the work of the Lord. By taking a small step, by giving a testimony. Oh, I mean, I could go on for a long time, and I know you don't want me to. We want to sing the last verse, but I've made so many mistakes. So has every one of us, and everyone that I know, and some of them make it into the who's who or the, you know, the annals of mistakes. They're great. There's a man on grounds right now that made a mistake when he prayed and was asked to pray. I'm not going to tell you who it was, so don't ask me to tell you. But he prayed, "Dear glad we're so God," instead of, "Dear God, we're so glad to be here in your house tonight. Dear glad we're so God." Now you say, well, if I made a mistake like that, I'd never open my mouth again. Well, I've made mistakes like that. Not quite that one, but others. But you got to try again. Every Christian makes blunders and mistakes, but why call them all to mind? Why call them all to mind? Because they're funny. And Lord, help our falling shorts. That was a good prayer that a man named Eddie Parker, he went to be with the Lord, so I can squeal on him now. But Lord, help our falling shorts. Well, yeah, I guess that's a good prayer to pray if your shorts are falling. But now, he became a preacher. I guess he was a preacher when he said it. My uncle, who I referred to, was the pastor of the church. Now you know why he resigned and I took over. Because he pronounced the couple that he was marrying, "I pronounce you man and woman." Well, in our day and age, that's a good thing. And he did the right thing. But, you know, that was Uncle Frank. And Uncle Frank could cover it up with a laugh and a giggle and a, oh, yeah, I mean man and wife. Okay, let's move on. So you understand, you're gonna goof. I was in Onantum. That was where I counseled for all the years that I counseled. I was the junior counselor. And I thought I'm going to start a chorus one meeting. I did. There's no piano, no organ, no help, no nothing. And I started the chorus that I found afterwards that nobody else knew. So here I am, and I started it about 9 notes too high. I usually don't start songs 9 notes too high. I just start them in the key of B or whatever I start them in. But I started a chorus. I long to glorify thee, dear Lord. I long. And then by the time I knew, I was sunk. Because it was going to get way high, and I couldn't get way high. So I skipped an octave down. And I thought, oh, no. I'll never start a chorus in my life again. But I have. So don't worry about it. If you make a mistake, if you put death in the pot, if you know what I'm referring to from Elisha, if the accent goes flying off your act and it winds up in a... It's okay. Every Christian makes mistakes. Every servant or handmaid. And just chalk it up to, Lord, help me next time to do a little better. And Lord, I just want to live for you. I want to live for you every day. I trust the Lord will help us and help all of us to continue on where thou dost lead to do thy will is all I need. Let's sing that last stanza together. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love, perfect presence in me is promised, Father's house above, and my Spirit glowing forth up, brings His fire to realms of day, is my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. Oh, Lord, that you lead us, you direct us, you guide us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. We praise and thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You lead, you guide all, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. Where Lord Jesus, I am.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.